for defending that was a stronghold for the Union Army, and they're going to recreate the fort or whatever.
In Helena?
Yeah. And how that got to be a Union stronghold, I don't know. But in Missouri, that was a really divided state between the North and the South. You had your hillbilly type from down around the Ozarks down there. And north of that, they were all Union, followed right. Abe Lincoln over to Illinois,
well,
that kind of stuff.
We were fishing up there, and we went through Helena, West Helena. There was that ridge that they have up there. I don't know if that was
a lot of history there.
I mean, the guy was telling us about that. Yeah, there's a couple of ridges up there that they said that's
P Ridge. That's right. Kevin.
Yeah, wasn't Richard Smith number 8?
Yep, you got it.
That's right. Was he your number 8?
Yep,
yeah,
yep,
he was
yep.
one of my teammates. Great athlete.
As he is, who's the guy that I'm thinking of? George Wilson, who plays for the Bills.
Oh no, I'm thinking. You know, I'm sorry. I'm thinking. I was thinking Richard Brothers. Who was number 8.
I thought he was number 9.
I will defer to you, Mr. Number Man.
Damn, I thought I was going to be able to win a lunch.
Corey and Cersei on the Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback. Are those numbers correct?
Well, spit them out.
Well.
I'm not
he's got Batman Carol and Michael Grant.
Oh, Carol might have been an 8.
I thought he was number 1.
Again,
I don't know.
I defer to you.
It might have been Lawrence Richardson was number 1.
Was 1. I think that you may be right about
Richardson
that.
Richardson was 1.
Okay, Batman Carol was the most overrated athlete to ever go to the University.
Most hyped up.
Never did pan out. Never did pan out.
He was wasn't he a second round draft choice? He the first
or
second
round?
Yeah,
he went to Green Bay. He was up there for about 2 cups of coffee. Yeah. Jimmy.
Yeah, I was calling in the eyes. Is there something called the Imperials? Have you ever heard of them?
Imperials was a great gospel group. Also was a backup for Elvis Presley. They did had a couple different incarnations. But, if you go back and look at some of the 70s Elvis, it was the Imperials that backed him up.
Yeah, there's some, but there's none in our system, I hate to tell you. Yeah, I remember the Imperials.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Weird about Elvis. Elvis had gospel groups backing him up. How about that? And then and 3 black singers and an opera girl, too, and a band with trumpets and strings and everything else.
Yeah. Chuck, what's up?
Not much. I heard Roger say he wanted to play some kind of Andy Griffith game. So
yeah, we'll do that after the bottom of the hour.
All right. I'll try that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you know what? That's a great point by Karen McJunkin. You know, there was a racer, a famous number 8 there that we
very
haven't
famous.
Mentioned that's not winning anymore.
We
talked about yesterday. Who's got the worst streak, the Pujols or this guy?
Underachieving franchises.
Yes, that's,
franchises
that would be, yes.
Very
that,
underachieving,
that would be true.
Considering all the lineage of the family there.
I'd be curious to see what racing name has ever gone that long, even close to that long without a win.
That had, look, that was big name.
If you went back and look at the biggest of the top 5, like a Gordon or, Petty, whoever.
Right.
To go 139 races. Yeah, sure.
Right. What ever happened to the Elvis thing where he just starts laughing? I know we got it in here somewhere. Where the girl keeps singing back up and he just loses it.
Yeah.
Well, he was out that day. He was all strung out. Kevin. Kevin.
Greg Thomas, wasn't he number 8?
Yeah, I think he'd be the most famous number 8. He was really not that good, though.
Listen, funny, listening to Jesse Branch yesterday talking about he coached receiver at U of A. Not receivers, receiver.
Oh,
because
yeah.
There would be one in the route. You know, you'd have a 3 in the backfield, 1 tight end, and you'd have the receiver out there. It'd be either Donnie Sanders or Steve Best for the most part.
Receiver.
And he had Missler or Mark.
Mark Missler, yeah.
And the Horton kid, Tim Horton.
Yeah, Coach Tim Horton, that's right.
That's how long ago that was. But to hear some of those old-timers, particularly Jesse Branch and Jim Moody, talk about some of the old days and how they'd get away with stuff, and the worst thing they could hear was, you ain't going to police, you're going to Wilson Matthews. Buddy.
That's right. You know, so they, I told a couple of those guys, who was yesterday, Tommy, I was pointing out, Don Christian and somebody else. I told those guys, those are the guys in the late 50s. They laid the groundwork for everything the Razorbacks are. Those first few years of Broyles, I mean, those are the guys, you know, back before media was big and all this. I mean, they were the guys who now they've had to look at this and go, wow. Can you imagine playing, you know, for the Razorbacks today versus what it was in the 50s?
Did they have any on or off-air talk about the coaching situation?
No, not really.
No?
I think they, you know, obviously hated to see it. But, a lot of – boy, you hear a lot of great assistant coaches named yesterday, too. That's what you kept hearing, a common thread through all the guys we had on there yesterday.
Well, I heard somebody say – I don't know if it was – I know it was yesterday afternoon. Which I guess I was –
Was Randy out there yesterday afternoon? Rainwater, did he do a show out there?
I didn't hear.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I heard the talk about somebody saying that, look, the best coach that's out there that's available is Bobby Petrino, yeah, said that somebody is going to give them, if they had the opportunity, they would go after him and give him a second chance.
Oh, yeah, it'll happen.
Said, for you know, you could forgive the Atlanta thing. That doesn't bother him. And the other, you got to give him another chance.
Somebody give him a chance. I ain't going to give him a chance this year.
No.
And, I listened to Mattingly's show too much. He was making a big deal about the baseball team yesterday. I'm sorry. If you're at 500, you're mediocre. You can say what you want.
They've underperformed. I think they had higher expectations.
And the crowds aren't what they were. People are somewhat disappointed. They can't hit a lot of things. But that idiot still thinks they're going to host a regional or super regional.
Speaking of hitting, Paul Chmura sends us a famous eight, which is pretty obvious.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it Carl Yastrzemski?
Yep.
I'll be damned.
And Ballantyne gave me one here, and he is a we're forgetting all about this number eight.
What sport?
With the Razorbacks.
Okay.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you doing today?
All right.
I was calling about the eyes. What about Iggy Pop?
Iggy Pop is actually in the computer. I wouldn't know Iggy Pop from Man in the Moon. He was David Bowie's weird sidekick.
I see pictures of him. He's a strange-looking character.
Yeah, he's a little weird, yeah. I have to agree with that.
I got one Iggy Pop song in here. Let's test it.
That's Iggy Pop?
What it says.
Yeah, it's one of his old ones.
Wow.
That's one of his old ones.
That sounds familiar.
Wow, that's Jim Rome, isn't it?
That's Bumper Reese for Rome. Sure is. Good job, Roger. Does he say anything? Or did you play?
I never knew it was him.
I thought he sang.
Time for Jim Rome show. My name is Iggy Pop.
This is Rome's music, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you watched any of his new stuff?
No, I have not.
From the CBS Sports Network. What's up, Dustin?
Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
How are you guys this morning?
Hey, bro.
Doing all right.
Is the I-band the Ink Spot?
The Ink Spot is the other band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tommy. That is correct, Dustin. Very good.
The other two are the Impressions and the Isley Brothers, and I was like, well, there's only three, so.
Can you name my Ink Spot song, Tommy?
No.
That was back in, I think, the 30s or 40s. I want to say there's one famous Ink Spot song that we would recognize, but I hadn't looked up what it would be.
Now, Ink Stain is playing at Riverfest, right?
That's right. Stain, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They'll be there.
Very good, Dustin. Well done. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, thanks.
433-1037, jump in. Hey, what's up, Larry?
I'll just wait after break. How long to break?
Oh, we got
Larry,
a minute or two.
Go ahead.
Okay, me and my dad and another guy were up there when all were played, you know, in the Sugar Bowl, and they throw away the dang keys, people on top of cars singing, and I can imagine it is like Mardi Gras, but we went to the races and went to the game, but they tackled him in the end zone before the ball got to him, and it was you know, controversial call. But y'all know where he's from, don't you?
He's from Mississippi.
Brookhaven, Mississippi. I remember when he signed with the Razorbacks. I'm from Brookhaven, Mississippi. But can you name the starting backfield when he played with the Chargers? Me and a friend of mine had a couple of beers one night. We called up there at 1:30. We were looking in Sporting News, Sports Illustrated, and we couldn't name the backfield. Paul Lowe, Hadle.
We couldn't
think of the little fullback for Nebraska. Do y'all know who it is?
No, Keith Langan played in the backfield.
That was so long ago. It was Keith, but that guy said, where y'all calling from? Did y'all have a few beers? I said, yeah. I said, we couldn't think of Lincoln's name.
And he told you, huh?
Yeah, but. Yeah,
they were a pretty stout offense. They weren't much on defense. I don't think Sid Gilman ever was much on defense.
Well, something else, if Dick Clark was still alive, you would give him a run for his money on Mount Rushmore. Music tribute. I guarantee you. I know y'all going to break, guys. I love y'all. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you.